Continue now with the halachas of Machali Akum. We are in Simon Kuf Tes Vav. We did Sif Alf last week about Chalav Yisrael. So now we are going to continue with Gvinas Akum. Okay, so the Mechaber says in Sif Beis, Gvinas Ha'ovdei Chochavim Asrum Mibnei Shma'amidim Oson Be'or Kevas Shchitasam Shinevela. Very, very important. The way that cheese is made, most cases, it uses the rennet from an animal. So the Shulchan Aruch based in the Gemara says that again, Gvinos Ovdei Chochavim, cheese made by non-Jews, Asrum, Chachamim prohibited eating them, Bipnei Shema'amidin Oson Be'or Kevas Shchitasim Shinevela. They would use rennet, which is some type of enzyme, that they would be taken from a kosher animal, but it wasn't shechted properly, so it was nevela. So now you have some nevela meat in the cheese, and that's what helps it process it and curl from the milk to the cheese. And even if they use some type of other enzyme, a vegetarian type of enzyme, which would make it curl, that too is going to be asur. We're going to go through all the different questions you might have in mind in the Taz and the Shach. The first thing to keep in mind is, isn't there an isur basar v'chalav? That's number one. You're using rennet from meat, so won't that be basar v'chalav? Number two is, you have to figure out, so then how, in general, why they created the isur, why is there no bitul b'shishim here either? The rennet is so small with respect to all the milk that's being curled, it would seemingly would be an issue of bitul b'shishim, so we'll go through that as well. That too will address exactly why asavim. It's made from a vegetable-based enzyme, so that would seemingly be permitted. So let's just read through the Ramah, then we'll go walk through all the different questions. So again, the Mechaber says it's also to have cheese made by non-Jew. The Ramah adds, V'chein ha-midrag, that is the practice. V'ein lifro together, we shouldn't break down any of these barriers. Im lo b'makum shenagu b'ham heter mikadmonim. Unless a certain community has a heter that they've been relying on for many, many years, that they were not part of the initial iser of a Gvinas Akum, other than that random community, then one would have to hold the practice of not having any cheese from non-Jews. V'im ha-Yisrael roe asiyas ha-Gvinos v'achaliva mutter. If the Jew observes the making of the cheese and also observes the milking of the cow, so then that would be the heter. You need to see both of those stages, the milking and then the processing. V'chein ha-minag pashid b'chol medinos elu, that is the prevalent practice throughout all the different areas. V'imra asiyas ha-Gvinos v'lo ra ha-chaliva. If they only saw the making of the cheese but didn't see the milking, so then yesh lahatir b'di'eved, there is room to be makil. In b'di'eved situation, we'll get to that, what that means. Ki ein locha shema er bo davar tamei. It's impossible. Very unlikely that they mixed any davar tamei, pig milk, in there. Me'acha she'asa gvinos me'achalav. Ki davar tamei eino omeid. Because non-kosher meat is not, meat and milk rather, non-kosher milk is not able to curl, so they would not, there'd be no reason to put any non-kosher milk in there. Wouldn't add anything. Ubivadai lo erubo ove kochavim. And certainly the non-Jew didn't mix any non-kosher milk. Me'achasha daita lasos gvinos, since he was planning on making cheese, so there's no reason why he would put any non-kosher milk, and there is no chashash. So therefore, if you saw the making of the cheese and it became cheese, so then b'di'eved you could rely on that even though you didn't see the making of the or the milking itself. And then finally, the Ramah writes, "Umikomakum aser lechal hachalav kach." But you cannot eat the milk of this situation. It's a little unclear what this means here, and they talk about on the side here. Fine. So let's go through now. Walk through the Nosei Kalim. Firstly, go back to the Taz Siv Katan Tes. Nosei Kalim, rather the Taz writes, "Kevas shchitasam." Why is this not a problem of basar b'chalav? You're taking the rennet, some of these enzymes from meat. It should be basar b'chalav. You're putting it into the milk and having it curl. Ein iser deraisa detoninhu. We haven't learned basar b'chalav together, but in iser basar b'chalav is only when you cook it together. But here, since it's cold, you're just dropping the enzymes in the milk. It's cold. It's not going to be an iser deraisa. V'afa gav dekamaymid. Even though it's mamid, you're letting it sit there and stay in that form. Ein iser ella midirabban. It's an only an iser midirabban. Even though they're soaking together, that's at worst an iser midirabban. That's shitas tosfos. V'kasa b'hagos b'tarasa adam da pevav da ri even migash rimigash. That is hiksheod. He had a further question. Okay, so right now it's not basar b'chalav midiraisa because you're not. It's not hot. It's only cold. But another question is, lama lo yeh batal b'shishim? The rent is so small, so shouldn't it just be an issue of batal b'shishim? And you should be able to even use rent from nevela. It's batal b'shishim. Yeah, pasteurizing, to my understanding, is a level, it's cooking.
So would that make a difference now that it is hot?
No, the bit of a shishim would take place first, though.
I think it's with the basar b'chalav.
Right, but once you put the rennet in when it's cold, I imagine they make the...
We had that discussion before, that you can do it with
hachila. So that they say what really happens is, I don't know all the details of it, but since you let it dry out, the rennet dry out to such a point, it becomes an issue of maybe right. Fourth address is, let's see. He says
it's like afar.
Maintains right, but then there wouldn't be an issue if it's just afar, then there's not an issue at all to deal with. But he writes here, is I think what you're saying maintains that this refers to if he intentionally relied on the leniency, he doesn't ask the question. Okay, no, he asks it somewhere here. Oh, although one may not initially cause bittul basar b'chalav, one may cause the kosher meat rennet to become nullified since it's been completely dried and is non-edible. So it's, even though it's kosher meat, but it's nevela, so you can make that batal.
Yeah, because it's non-edible, so it's nothing.
But then there should be no issue of bissa. Then there's no problem at all then, if it's nothing. Once it's afar. So I'm not sure. He quotes Aruch HaShulchan here. We take a look at Aruch HaShulchan in Kuf Tezvav Os Tezayin. We can take a look at it afterwards. I'm not sure. Okay. So then he says here, the second question is, why is there no Bittul B'Shishim? Bittul B'Shishim you should apply, and you should be able to use even the rennet of a nevela. V'teret al shnei kushis elu shekol ha'asr machmas nesinas tam. Any type of iser that comes about because it adds flavor, k'mo basar b'chalav, ein oser yoser min hashishim. It does not have the ability to create an iser more than 60. Aval kan be'or nevela havi iser ma'imid v'oser b'cholshu. This is a whole other type of iser here. The concern here is not one of basar b'chalav. It's not one of nesinas tam of giving taste, but actually ma'imid. It makes a curl. It has a very strong impact on it. So we didn't learn the sukkahs again together. Although bittul b'shishim applies to many cases, there are many exceptions where bittul doesn't apply. So for example, a chaticha rul yeskabit, a very chashiv piece of meat, that's never going to be bittul because it's too chashiv. Things that are mamid, that make it curl, those are too significant for bittul to apply. So bittul is not going to be applicable in this case. So then he says... where we go here? But then he quotes that sheet, the first sheet of Rimagash. But then the Ravid here, it's Al Kusha. He gives another answer that Al Kusha Rishona, the question, why it's not Basar B'Chalav, Kama Tosvos. Val Kusha Shniyat here, he gives a second answer of the Chol She Asu Chachamim B'Shel Ovdei Chachavim. Any Isser that the Chacham created because of a distancing from non Jews, Eino Moel Bittel Berov. Bittel Berov or Bittel B'Shishim never is effective. Kadei shelo yifritzu, we don't want to ever breach these walls, these fences.
How do you know that there's b'shishim
as well? I assume because he's applying to this case here. Otherwise it wouldn't be relevant. So that wouldn't make sense otherwise. So he says, kevin d'shchiach butaima, since the reason is very relevant here, and so therefore we don't apply bittul across the board. So again, the two explanations as to why we don't apply bittul b'shishim in this case, and you can't use non-kosher rennet, either because it's an iser mamid is not subject to bittul, or because of the concern of intermarrying, that's another reason, and that we wouldn't apply bittul either, since the reason is very relevant. Okay, now let's jump to the Taz Sif Katan Yud. The Taz writes here that Vafila Hemidu Basavim. So this is Ezra's question. Why is it a problem using vegetable-based enzymes? Why is that no good? The Gvinos Nizgar Bimishna Behedya L'Isser. There's a Mefurish Mishnah in Maseches of Avodah Zarah that says you can't have Gvinos Akum. Velo Plug Rabbanan. They never distinguish between this type of cheese, that type of cheese, the vegetable enzyme versus the rennet. Kevan Deika Shemamidinosan Gamachsha Beor Nevela. Nowadays, people still use, manufacturers still use rennet. I don't know if that's the case nowadays, in our time. But Mashen came to Midei Degazube Mishum Gila, as opposed to another discussion we'll have in the next siman of things that were left out overnight, that the Mutter Ha'inna. Nowadays, things left out overnight, according to the Taz, we'll go through the sugya, whether everyone agrees to this, but nowadays it's a Mutter even though water was left out overnight. The Ein Shayach Gila Klal She'ein Matzui Beinenu Nechashim. Nowadays, it wasn't relevant. We have no snakes around where we live. So what he's pointing out here is that some types of takanas, this is based on a Rush and others, Shechter likes this idea a lot. When an Isser was created, was it stated Isser, but they never attached the reason explicitly, although we might figure out the reason, but they never attached the reason to the Gzeira, so then the Gzeira exists below Plug, we can start figuring out when it does, when it doesn't apply. It says in Mefurish Isser that you can't have Gvinas Akum, that's final, no questions, no distinctions. But when it came to Giloy, the Gemara had mentioned Giloy's Aser because of the snakes. So, and then you could deduce from that, if there are no snakes, so then there would not be an Iser Giloy. So we see across the board, you can never have the cheese made by non-Jew. Okay, now there is a long shach to learn through, but this is a very, very important shach, halacha l'maisa. He writes in Siv Katan Chaf, in HaYisrael, so according to the Ramah, it's important to know that all the Ramah requires is that the Jew observes the milking and the making of the cheese, the placing of the rennet in the milk tablet, help it curl. So he says, "Vizel al pi mashikasa b'darche Moshe b'taras chatas klal pe'alef vizel l'shona." This is the Ramah speaking. He wrote the sefer Darche Moshe, we know, on the Torah, and he also wrote the Taras Chatas. It's a separate sefer in Yeridaya. So the Ramah writes, as the Shach quotes, "Kasam Mordechai b'perek kolabasar diafilu im Yisrael rachaliva." Even if a Jew observes the milking, the Ovid Kochavim Aso Gvinos, and the non-Jew is the one who makes the cheese. We don't buy from the non-Jew. So what's going on here is that the Mordechai holds that if the non-Jew makes the cheese, it's a problem. Aval Baguda, Perik Shoel, Kasav Vizelashono, Adam Kone Sikum Gvinos, a person could buy a aggregate of cheeses. The Ovid Kochavim Miskanem B'Shabbat, Mitaknem B'Shabbat, and could fix it on Shabbos. There's an interesting case here. V'Yisrael Ro'eh V'Shomer. You can have a Jew watching a non-Jew on Shabbos. We spoke of the case in the OU where they had the non-Jewish owned factory, yogurt factory, I think it was. We have the videotape. So there, you can't really watch the videotapes. But a Jew, in theory, could show up and watch the non-Jews making the cheese. V'Eino Medabi, he doesn't say anything because he can't say, do this, do that. That's a violation of Vidavar Davar, or violation of Amir Lakum. The Jew could just stand there on Shabbos and just watch what's going on. And the Kfar Nagu Kedivri Aguda Akan Lashono. That's the practice. So what comes out of all this, there's a machlokas, could a Jew watch a non-Jew make the cheese? Ramah clearly says that a Jew just has to watch it being made. But there is the Sefer, the Mordechai, that says it doesn't work. The Jew actually has to make the cheese. If the non-Jew makes the cheese, even if the Jew's watching it, it doesn't make a difference. So again, there's a machlokas. Can the Jew watch the non-Jew making it, or does the Jew actually have to make the cheese? So those are two deis.
Wasn't that on Shabbos, though?
That was on Shabbos, yeah. But in Echad, you learn two things. One thing is on Shabbos, and number two you learn is that the cheese is kosher, even though the Jew didn't actually make the cheese. So that's how the Ramah paskens. All the Jew has to do is watch the guy making the cheese. But the Shach doesn't like this. Aval bemes nir lefinas daiti de aguda lo pliga Mordechai. There is no machlokas. What do you mean? It's a clear machlokas. They were arguing about whether or not the non-Jew is able to make the cheese. So big chiddush of the Shach. De aguda lo mairi hosam el inin isa Shabbos. The aguda is only addressing your point. The isa Shabbos of amir la'akum and davar davar v'lachach. That's why he had placed this halacha in Masechah Shabbos. And this halacha wasn't in Perek Ein, which one is this? I forget. Ein Amidah, maybe. I don't remember exactly. It's not in a Perek in Masechah Avodah Zarah. He was only concerned with telling you the halachas of how to do be a Mashkiach on Shabbos. He wasn't addressing the concerns of the Gvina being kosher or not. Elavadai lo mairi medin iser Gvinos over the Chachavim. The F sure it's possible. The BMS Agvinos Asuros. Granted, even though the Jew is watching the non-Jew make the cheese on Shabbos and there's no Isser Shabbos taking place, it's still very likely that the cheese is not going to be kosher. Mishum Gvinas over the Kochavim El Mishum Shabbos Mutarim. He was only addressing the Shabbos part. So Vanafkamina, so well, who cared? In the end of the day, if the cheese is not going to be kosher, so why in the world is it good at telling you halacha of if the Jew watches the non-Jew, there's no violation of Shabbos. But the cheese is also, what is he accomplishing? So Shach says, there's a nafkamina. Demuter liknos sikum hagvinos kach b'shabbos ulamachem. Granted, you can eat the cheese because the non-Jew made the cheese, but you're able to still take the cheese and sell it. You can't eat it, but still muter b'ana. Achar kach lo v'kocham, sell to a non-Jew. You can't sell it to a Jew because it's not kosher, because a non-Jew made it, but you could still sell it. Oh, efshu demayi b'mekomos anogin heter b'gvinos ov d'kochavim apir b'inotam. Or perhaps he's talking about an area that, like the Ramah referred to, that there are some communities that did not have an isser of gvinos akum. So for them, there's no concern of gvinos akum, so the only concern was the issue of isser Shabbos. So this is the big chiddush of the Shach. Now the Shach Kedarko goes to a number of different proofs trying to prove his point, that he thinks like everyone really holds of a shita, that if the Jew doesn't make the cheese, it's not going to be kosher. If the non-Jew makes it and the Jew watches it, it's not going to be kosher. Okay. Now, again, the Jew has to put the rennet in. The only way it's kosher for the Shach is if the Jew puts the rennet in the milk. Now, at the end here, there is another heter that the Shach mentioned.
Any other process is no good according to the Shach?
Exactly. According to him, I think, to my understanding, that's the only part of the process, dropping the rennet in. Now, we'll see in a moment that the practice is not in accordance with the Shach. It's like the Ramah. But before we get there, there's another interesting heter of the Shach in the same piece. If you go down to the last six lines of the Shach, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words in. It says, Ma shenis pashe taminag, the prevalent practice, shalokin gvinos mea shvagin. I don't know what that means. Is it a Yiddish word? Something like shvager? I don't know. But he takes, the practice was to buy cheese from a certain area. He says, wait a second, I hold that you cannot have a non-Jew make the cheese. So how come they practice everywhere in the world, all over Europe, they buy such cheese that was made by a non-Jew? He explains, Hainu mishum shenogu lischor habehemos. The Jew would actually rent, they would hire the animals. V'imkein hagvinos shel Yisraelim. Therefore, the cheese is going to be owned by the Jew. V'lo matinu shum iser b'shemakum b'gvinos shel Yisrael shasan ove kochavim. The Shach thinks the iser of having the non-Jew make the cheese is only if the non-Jew also owns the cow and the milk. But if the Jew owns the cow, the Jew owns the milk, but let the non-Jew make it, that would be permitted even according to the Shach.
Doesn't that contradict what
you
said before, that he has to be involved in it?
So that was only
if the guy owned the cow.
Correct. You need to have both of them. But once the Jew, what's the difference?
But then you have Cholam Akum.
No.
This is the cheese part.
No. According to, if the Jew needs to be involved in putting the rennet in the beginning, and that's what makes it kosher. If in the second case he's saying if the cow is owned, then you're assuming that the chalav is chalav Yisrael. Does that mean in the first case is the chalav Akum and the only thing that comes?
No.
Is the...
No, even if it's chalav Yisrael, let's say you saw the milking. You saw the milking or you did the milking.
Okay.
But then you gave it to non. This is reminiscent of the whole story of Bishul Akum. Beis Yisrael, in my house, there were the heterim that the non-Jew could cook all they want in my house. You're not marrying hopefully not your housekeeper. So here as well, if it's owned by Yisrael, it's permitted for them to do the process. That would be, so that's the understanding of the Shach. Now look at the Pischei Tshuva on the bottom, Sivkatan Vav. He writes the last four lines in the page here. He says, Chena minag ein berhetev b'shem Shach, the Shach which we just saw, that goes against the Ramah, that the non-Jew is not allowed to make it. Ein b'tshuva sinod b'yuda tinyana chelik orachayim simin lam zayin she'achriya k'divei Ramah. He passed me like the Ramah, v'lo kashach v'ataz, against them upri chadash. V'chein hora amintcha samatshu, that stands for not minchas Yitzchak, but someone else. V'pri toar v'kasav shekein pashen aminag, that we again pass like the Ramah. All you have to do is observe the milking and the cheese making. V'ma keva shel Yisrael, if it's owned by a Jew, af she'ovei kochavim nosna l'tocha chalav, even though the non-Jew does the place of the rennet in, mutter l'chliyama af l'chachilek. We saw in the Shach, everybody would agree that if you drop the rennet in the milk, everybody would agree that would in fact be kosher. Okay. Now let's. No, we said that was a point above, that with regards to basa v'chalav, it's only isser midir abundant since it's all cold, it's all tzonin. So they weren't goes there in a case of basa v'chalav midir abundant, it seems. Okay, let's. That's the 2 points. There's bittel and there's basa v'chalav. So basa v'chalav, it's not going to be basa v'chalav midir isa since it's only tzonin. So then, why are you concerned in the first place? Why don't you just say bittel? The whole thing's bottle. The amount of enzymes that are in there are so small compared to the rest of the milk.
Right, so it's maimed, so it's not
yeah,
bottle.
Right. But that's not going to basa v'chalav. That's a different issue. That's not basa v'chalav.
So then why is it mutter, though? He says, the imhat keva shi yisrael, after the chavim goes in the law, mutter.
Yeah, because the keva is a...
What happened to the davar maimed?
No. The davar maimed was, why do we need to have kosher rennet in the first place? Right. Isn't it bottle? Here he's on a kosher rennet. In the bottom, it's kosher rennet. There's no problem of kosher right now. It's just a gzeira about who's doing the process. Once you get around all the issues of kosher, not kosher, now who's going to do the actual making of it? That's the secondary point. Let's look now at the shach and sif katan chav beis. That the Rama writes that there's room to you could be makel b'di'eved if you didn't see the chaliva, but you saw the making of the cheese, right? If the non-Jew milked the cow on his own, and then he made cheese, so Rama says it's vadai going to be kosher cheese, because non-kosher milk cannot become cheese. So there's no reason why he put pig milk in that mixture, because the pig milk would impact it negatively, wouldn't help it, wouldn't make it turn to cheese, or not all of it will turn to cheese. So then you could rely on it. But what's considered a case of bidyeved? So says the Shach here, Sifkat and Chabez, Yesh Lahatir Bidyeved, Ba'gos Hashri, Ba'isr Heter, Sham Isa, the Ein Lahatir Ze El B'makum Hefzid Meruba. These are one of the cases you find many places. I mentioned this. Rama writes, it's a famous Rama on Choshe Mishpat, that sometimes B'makum Hefzid Meruba, you could rely on more lenient Shita. So this is another application. How do you find Hefzid Meruba? So Ramosha writes in a couple of places, Hefzid Meruba depends on the individual. What's a lot for him? For one guy, $10 could be a lot of money. For another guy, $2 million could be a lot of money. So it really depends on each particular person. Okay. We got a couple minutes. We have a minute here? Fram, you're good. Welcome back.
Working on it.
Are we still waiting? What's his name? Gives shear tonight? Okay, yeah. So he still gives shear. Okay. How many we hit right now? We're 9. Okay. So again, so halacha levaisa, as we saw in the Pesachei Tshuva, is that we're makel with regards to the process, that all you have to do is the non-Jew is allowed to place the rennet in the milk as long as a Jew sees both the milking process and he also sees the making of the cheese, the placing of it. But the Jew doesn't have to actually place the rennet inside. There is a long tshuva I was going to bring, but Ramosha was too long to go through. Ramosha, in a different tshuva, he does discuss the cheese nowadays, where he doesn't think, just like we said by Chalav Yisrael nowadays, he doesn't think you have to watch anymore. Everything will be called Chalav Stam. It's all going to be mutter because of the government overseeing it. He says cheese as well, produced with Jewish supervision of the production, not the milking, is permitted even if no difficulty is involved. So he says as follows, that as long as a Jew is watching, like we saw in the Ramah, says you can only rely on the Re'ias Asiyas Gvina, but not the milking, only b'dieved. But Moshe thinks, l'chadchila, as long as a Jew watched the milking of the process, as long as a Jew watched the making, the placing of the rennet inside, so again, it'd be kosher, even though they didn't see the milking of it. That's Moshe l'shitaso. But he takes it a step further. While with regards to milking, regular Chalav Yisrael, he advises a Baal Nefesh. I'm not going to define people in categories tonight of who's a Baal Nefesh, but I still think those who come out to learn tonight regularly are considered Baal Nefesh. So he says that while Baal Nefesh should try to have Chalav Yisrael, when it comes to cheese, he does not think a Baal Nefesh has to be Machmir on cheese, on Gvina. As long as the milking was done by a Jew, so then you don't have to be Machmir, even Baal Nefesh. That's his Shita.
Nowadays,
yeah.
So nowadays,
what?
When they have the hashgacha on the cheese,
yeah.
What is there a full time hashgiach watching them make
I assume. I didn't get a chance to look up, but I assume. I guess you guys will send me the links later.
I'll look it up.
But I'm assuming that they watch the cheese process. Yeah, placing the rennet inside.
There's a difference between Miller's, where it's not.
That's
the milk. That's a milking aspect.
That's the milk, right. The cheese.
But the cheese, I think everyone has to say, the Ramaz Heter was only if the Jew saw the rennet being placed in, but he didn't see the milking, then you can rely on that bidyevet. The Moshe says, lechachila. Right. But the difference is, some will say, even the chaliva, you can't rely on this Ramosha. They argue Ramosha. They said, even the milking has to be done for Chalav Yisrael. That's the difference between the Chalav Yisrael, Miller's.
You can't make kosher cheese out of Chalav Stam, is what they say.
Right, so it should be Mako.
Okay, there's a whole discussion about cottage cheese, but it's 9:30 already, so we'll maybe discuss this tomorrow. We'll do butter tomorrow, and we'll talk about other types of cheese. Okay, we'll stop here. As long as